the work of miracles from our God is not hinged upon your obedience necessarily either. Because if that was the case, all I need is to be obedient and God has to give me a miracle. So the miracle doesn't depend on my obedience. It depends on God's mercy and grace. Have you ever seen God do a miracle on somebody who's been really disobedient? Like saving them for a crash, in a car accident? Saving them from a bullet, from a wound, from a disaster, from whatever. So, yes, as a Christian, I ought to know that if I want to see God working miracles in my life, at least I owe him to be obedient. But, of course, do not, you know, it's like you got to have life in balance. You cannot say, well, since I'm being obedient, he has to. But you can't say, well, since I don't have to be obedient for him to work the miracles because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on him and his mercy and grace, then I'm just going to go ahead and do whatever I want because he's going to perform miracles anyway. So you got to have balance, right? You can't go on one end of the spectrum or the other and expect God to do good things. But as I mature in Christ, I have to acknowledge that there are times that he supernaturally works even when I am disobedient, when I'm not being honest, when I'm not doing what's natural in Christ, but when I'm doing the opposite. But there are people who have experienced miracles, even in their disobedience. And God has a purpose for that. Amen? But being that we obey Christ, being that we know Christ, then we should know better. Amen? I hope we could gather that from what we heard last week. But today we're going to talk about another blind man. But this time, no mud, no spit. Just six words Jesus used to heal this very blind man called Bartimaeus. The Bible is full of miracles, and most of them, of course, happen to ordinary people like you and me. So who is to say that God cannot or will not do a miracle in your own life? Amen? Don't let anybody ever tell you that. God can make miracles out of our messes, right? You've heard that phrase before. But he's waiting. He's waiting to do miracles in your life. And there might be reasons. He may be preparing you. He may be working on you. I don't know. But it's one thing I know, that God does perform miracles. And how then I prepare for a miracle from God? Have you ever thought about that? What do I have to do? How do I prepare? What should I do to expect a miracle from God? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to see in Luke chapter 18 some things that this blind man did that will help us understand things that we need to be living in order to see a miracle in our lives of whatever sort we need. So let's just go to Luke chapter 18, verse 35. Bartimaeus receives sight. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Amen. May the Lord add blessing to his word as we preach it today. So let me tell you something. This story of this blind man, we can see that there are five principles here that we can practice in order to prepare and expect God to perform miracles. Number one, you must pray passionately. You must pray passionately. You got to have passion in your prayers. You got to really put some heart into it, right? You actually have to pour your heart out is what God wants. That's exactly what we mean when we say passionately, with intensity. You got to be feeling it, you know? You need to pray with urgency. You need to pray steadfast all the time, but you need to do it intently and with a passion. Amen? You want God to hear your heart. Now, of course, it's not like he's going deaf and you got to scream at him. But you think about this. As Jesus was entering Jericho, this blind man who'd been sitting by the roadside begging probably for a long, long time, and apparently he had seen before. Maybe he lost his eyesight at a later on, or who knows how. But he said, I want to regain my sight. He didn't say, I want to see. I want to regain my sight. And I know that if you are like me, maybe not, but I know I do, I lose my sight once in a while. And I bump into walls. I bump into stuff because I lose my sight. And it's not my diabetes, baby. It's my disobedience. It's when I don't follow Jesus' footstep that I be tripping and I be just simply running into walls. But he starts yelling out, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of David, have mercy upon me. You see, all of a sudden I said, there's nothing I'm doing here good. There's nothing I've done but just have mercy. Mercy is, please take me out of this. I don't deserve anything, but just please do it for me. He cries out with passion. And you think about it. When you approach Christmas, which will be around the corner before you know it anyway, right? And you start wondering, when you have little ones especially, what do they want for Christmas? And you start listening for cues, right? Like, what do they say and what do they want? And you may be even tenacious enough or brave enough to go into Toys R Us or a store like that and take them with you and say, well, what do you like? Woohoo! And maybe if you're a kid like me, when I was little, I'd go to the store and I would be like, my mom say, what do you want to ask for whatever, whoever bring you for Christmas, right? Whomever he is. And I'd be like, oh, I want that. And I want that. Ooh, and that. Oh, but I really want that. You know, I was all over the store. Some kids are not like that, but I wanted everything. And you start learning from your kids what they want. As you hear them, you got to pay attention because you really have to know what they want. Because a lot of times kids say, oh, I want this and I want that, I want that. And you go buy it. And at Christmas time when they open it, it's like, this is not what I wanted. Have you ever done that? Yeah, you're satisfied with everything you've been given, right? Sure. But you see, so you have to pay mind. You have to pay really good attention to what they're saying, what they really, really, really want. So if you want God to answer your prayers, tell them what you really, really, really want. Don't just go out there and say, Lord, bless me. Hello? There's a lot of blessings out there, but you got to be careful. You be specific with him. Pour your heart out, right? I mean, God wants to hear your prayers. God wants to hear your petition. He didn't go to this blind man and say, you want to see? Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus knew he was blind. He knew exactly what he wanted, what he needed, but he wanted to hear you. He wanted to hear him, right? He listens to our hearts. Now, we want to do the same thing as this guy did. We want to pray and we want to pour our heart out. We want to be passionately. God, I really want this. I really, really, really want this. Right? Not to just go out there with all these, with prayers with no effort. Somebody said, and this is a new word I learned. I wrote it down here and I wrote the meaning and everything. Perfunctory prayers. That means something that is done with lack of effort, perfunctory, perfunctory prayers. No, you want passionate prayers, not perfunctory prayers. Ain't that something? Don't be perfunctory. Quit perfuncturizing or something. I don't know. But let's quit doing that. Let's go out there and let's just not go through the motions of prayer. Really put some passion into it. Watch our language. You see, the problem is that as we as a believer get used to praying, sometimes it's easy to be caught up and get caught up with those little Christianese language. Oh, Lord, thank you for your atonement. You probably don't even know what atonement means, but you're going to use it in that prayer. Thank you for your redemptive power on the cross. We do that, right? Now, it's okay to use those words. It's not, but be careful when you use them. Be sincere. Be honest, right? Right? So we got to be careful with some of the phrases that we say, some of the things that we do, right? Think about it. You sit down. Well, you sit down at the table. You're really hungry, and you sit with your family there. And I know we do this because my household cannot be the only one in the world that does this. And you sit down and you're so eager to eat and so hungry. So hurry up, come on, everybody gather around. Thank you, Jesus, for this meal. In the name of Jesus, amen. Or something like that because you're so hungry. Because you've been waiting, the food's getting cold. Have you done that? No, that only happens at my house. Well, you have all these little cliches and little phrases to use. You know, rub-a-dub, thank you for this grub, whatever. I don't know, something like that, you know, some little phrases that we get caught up with and they become traps in our prayer life. You see, it's like this little child that was, as always, the family always sat at the table and the father always said, okay, let's hold hands. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. And he'll say the same prayer before dinner. He saved grace. Every day the same prayer, every day the same prayer. Until finally, the little four-year-old one day said, Daddy, can I talk to the plate today? Can I do the talking? Because he thought they were talking to the plate because it was always the same thing, right? Ain't that amazing? Well, check it out. Psalm 142. How I plead with you, God. How I implore his mercy, pouring out my troubles before him. Pouring out my troubles before him. You got to pour yourself out to God. That's the first principle we got to think about. We must pray passionately. God is listening to your tone. Have you ever listened to your children's tone when they come and tell you something? Or you're paying more attention to their tone than anything else, right? Don't you think that God as a father does the same thing to us? You know, when kids come to us and they say, I want that, and they forget it. You kind of know, but when they say, I really want it, then you all of a sudden like, oh, this kid really wants that. So you're really listening for their tone and their passion and whatever. And we do the same thing with God. We just got to be passionate about what we want because God is looking at our heart when we pray, not just our words. Now, you got to be careful. Like I said, you got to watch your language because imagine you're sitting on your couch. Guys, how many of you are sitting on your couch and watch TV? Oh, yes, amen, hallelujah. That's a manly thing, amen, right? But women do too. But you're sitting, let's say, okay, Ed, you're sitting at your house and you're watching TV. And all of a sudden, Brandon comes to you and says this. I had to write it down because if not, I couldn't say it. Oh, great one of the household, thou who bearest our allowance, be generous unto thy humble servant. Yeah, Ed would be going like, duh, huh? Who is this kid? Did that come out of my loins? That's amazing. It's crazy, right? But, you know, and we do that to God, you know. Sometimes we approach him like with all these great words. And, you know, it's nothing wrong with using words. But yet, you got to check your heart on that. You can just go to God and pray the quickest, shortest prayer and do it wholeheartedly and just say, Lord, I need your help right now. And that may be enough. You can simply say, Daddy, I trust you on this one. Boom. That could be enough for a miracle. Praying passionately. That could be born right in there, right? So that's one of the things that we discover in our lives, and I suspect that it happens to you too, that sometimes we get stale in our prayers because of those little words and cliches and things like that. So God knows what's in your heart, but he wants you to tell him what's in your heart. He wants to listen to you. That's how good he is. You see, what good would it do if your parent always knew what you were going through and you would come over and say, hey, Dad, I'm like, I know what you're going through. Don't worry about it. How would you feel, right? You wouldn't tell him anything, but God wants to hear you. Even though he knows, he says, no, go ahead and tell me. And even your children sometimes come to you and you're like, go ahead and tell me. But you already know. Go ahead and tell me, sweetie. Go ahead. Go ahead, tell me how you feel. Tell me what's wrong. Now let me smack you up. No, I'm just kidding. So number two, let's just pray passionately. Number two, you must pray persistently. You must persist in prayer. Don't let discouragement stop you. Do not let anything or anybody stop your prayers when you really, really, really want something from God, when you really want him to work in your life. And in verse 39 right here in Luke chapter 18, it says, those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. They just kept telling him, hush, shut up. Tell him to quiet down. Don't make so much noise. But he kept shouting. He kept screaming his lungs out. You see, he's not going to miss this chance. Sometimes we miss chances because we don't speak out loud. Does that ever happen to you? You see, nothing was going to stop him. Don't let anything or anyone stop you. You got to be tenacious with your prayers. You got to go out there. You got to be persistent. When you really want something, be relentless. Be out there. Just tell them what you want. And you just keep praying until when? Until you get the answer, right? You persistently pray until you get your answer. Now, let me tell you something. There are some times that we start praying for something that we really, really want. But then all of a sudden God gives us conviction that you want that, but that's not what you need. And I can't give you that. Even if you want it, it's not going to be good for you. And that's when you need to persistently stop praying for that. But you need to pray for something else. But you need to constantly be in prayer. Because most people quit too soon on prayer, right? Sometimes we quit too soon. In Colossians 4, 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being alert in it. And being alert. What does that mean? You got to be watchful. That means that you got to be out watching for God's answer to your prayer. Be diligent, be vigilant, be alert. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Don't let anything or anybody deter you from praying. You see, it's like, once again, sit at the TV. This time we're going to pick on somebody else, okay? Let's just say somebody else is sitting at the TV, not Ed this time, but you're sitting on TV, you're sitting by TV, you're watching there, and you're there, and then your kid comes over, Dad, la 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 la, they talk to you, and all of a sudden you go like, huh? Right? And you weren't listening, and the kid's like, don't worry about it. You're not even aware of what's going on around you or anything like that. You think that's going to deter, that's going to discourage that child from talking to you? Well, sometimes it does, but the child may be persistent. But if he persists enough, he's going to be like, okay, child, what you want, right? But that's not how God works. God always has time for us. Persistently pray to him. He always has an ear for you. He's always going to listen to you. I mean, you don't have to nag him. You don't have to annoy him. You don't have to beg, you know. But all you have to do is call upon his name, and he will listen to you. Some people think that God's like an ogre sitting up there in heaven in the sky and just waiting to disappoint us, you know. Well, you know what? I don't even pray because every time I pray, something bad happens. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that from Christians. That is really dumb. From a Christian, oh my goodness, I just can't understand it. But he's saying, you know what? If you really want to be blessed, then keep after him. Seek him. When you want something from your parents, you seek them, right? You used to do that. Well, you seek God the same way. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? So if you ask him, he's going to give you what is good for you. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Yes. God is saying, you know what? I gave my son for you. Do you think I'm not going to give you everything else that you need or that you could want that is good for you? So be persistent. Be persistent in your prayers. And let me give you two reasons. You see, when you're persistent, it shows how much you really want something. When I'm persistent, it shows when I really want something. And it prepares me for my answer. It prepares you for your answer. When I'm praying for a miracle, I need to be persistent. What if I told you that while you were up here listening to this sermon, some of the brothers and sisters from our church are downstairs preparing a buffet for you and me to go buffet ourselves. Does that make you any hungry at all or anything? Think, you know, it might be a buffet down there, a brunch. They're setting it all up. Oh, I can see the faces. I can see the smiles or anything. Oh, y'all got food down there? Right? And you're like, oh, your tummy's already getting ready for it, right? You're thinking about, you know, an omelet. You know, you're thinking about bacon. Who doesn't think about bacon? But what if I told you, I'm going to be preaching for the next 3 hours. That's why they're preparing you something down there. Would that discourage you? Angela says, no. You're still going to be hungry, right? Amen. Hallelujah. We'll still wait for that buffet down there, right? You got to be persistent, really. And truly, it prepares you for what comes later on, right? Oh, my goodness. I'm getting hungry now. It prepares you for what God has. So you get prepared for God's answer. When you're persistent, it's the time for God working, the preparation in you. And when you're persistent, that means that you really, really want something. You think about the Israelites. They were asking God, take us to the promised land. Take us to the promised land. All 40 years they were in the desert. They were saying, there's nothing out here. This place is dry. There's no food. There's no water. Look at us. We want the promised land. But God said, you're going to have to wait. And God actually miraculously took them through the desert, right? Their sandals never wore out. Their clothing never wore out. They saw water coming out of the rocks. They saw the seas part. They saw so many wonders and miracles that God did to get them to the promised land. But it was all in what? In preparation for the Holy Land. God prepares us when we have to wait for something. You know how many years we prayed to get into this building? For years and years and years. And let me tell you something. Every time we said, we need a new building, we need a new building. And it was scorching hot in the other building. And when we all got in there, we were all sweating. The ACs wouldn't be enough. It was so tight, we only have 18 inches in the middle aisle, and we had 12 inches in the aisles outside, and everybody would walk through. I'm serious. It was like this, the center aisle. Y'all remember that, right? And we were going through them. We were saying, when are we going to get this building? When are we going to have the money? Well, when you give it. But anyway, we were praying persistently. And we really, really wanted it. But God was preparing us. And in the midst of preparing us, let me tell you what we did together. $1.3 million spent on this building. But we collected over $800,000. Without borrowing. We only owe on this building about 400 something thousand. That's only one quarter of what we actually spent on this building. That's a miracle right there. You see, we had to wait. We had to be persistent. And God is never late. God is never in a hurry. God is never in a hurry, man. He's always on time. And you know why I think God was having us wait and wait and wait? Because we were waiting on you. We were waiting on you. Some of you weren't here when we started praying for this. But God brought you alongside. And we were waiting for you. So thank you for coming. Thank you for being there. Amen. Thank you for showing up. God has done it. You see, in James chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, and let endurance have its perfect results so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But you have to endure. You have to be persistent. You have to be passionate about your prayer, and God will give us the miracle. And we have to understand, you see, if God always answered our prayers instantaneously, you'll be a spoiled brat. That's what you'll be. That's what we'll be. You see, God is not like a vending machine. You put a quarter, you get zingers. And some of you don't know what zingers are, but they're really good. or let's just say Twinkies. Yeah, everybody knows Twinkies. You put a quarter in and you get whatever you want from that vending machine, right? Or whatever money you put in there. God is not a genie in a bottle. A genie will give you whatever desires you want, even if they're no good for you. You ask for it, you get it. But God doesn't work like that. He doesn't work with that immediate gratification. Sometimes to make you wait because he wants you to persist, because he wants to prepare you, because he wants to do something in your life. He's not a vending machine. He's not a genie, because he won't give you anything that's bad for you. You know how many bad things a vending machine has given me? You couldn't tell, right? But yet you wait upon God, because God has given us a tool to help us pray passionately and persistently. You want to know what that tool is? There's something that God has given us to help us pray persistently and passionately. Pain. God has allowed pain in our life so that we may pray persistently and we may pray passionately. When your world is falling apart, then all of a sudden you're persistent in prayer. When your pain is not bearable, then you start praying passionately. When your loved one walks out on you and you don't know what to do or if they're coming back, then all of a sudden you start praying passionately. You go to the doctor, you get the report, and you feel the pain, so also you start praying persistently. The boss comes at you, says, you're not working here no longer, and it's only 12 days to Christmas. All of a sudden, the pain sets in and you start praying passionately. Or when the bills come in and there's not enough in the checkbook, you start praying persistently. You understand what I'm saying? God allows pain. That's the tool he uses to prepare us for the answer, to know what we really, really want. And God is the one who answers. All you have to say is, Lord, God, Father, Jesus, whatever, Son of David, have mercy upon me and don't give up. Number three, you must pray specifically. Pray specifically. You see, don't just ask for a blessing. Tell him how you want to be blessed. Now, be careful, because I'm not one of those preachers who preaches, you want a new car, just pray for a new car and just say, it's mine. You know, I'm not saying that. But maybe you do need a new car. You want a new car? Start praying for it. You know what? If that's not what God wants to give you, if you pray passionately and persistently, he'll take that passion out of that prayer and turn it onto something else, what you need. Maybe you're praying for a Lexus, and God says, no, you got a Yugo. And if anybody remembers Yugos, you don't want one of those. Goodness gracious. So you pray for what you want, and you let God decide what you need. Amen? That's what we need to do. But you have to be specific. Don't be vague. Don't be general. You know, spell it out. Be precise. Tell him exactly what you want. And he'll tell you exactly if you want it, if you get it or not. That's what we have to do. Sometimes that's one of our weaknesses. Sometimes we pray like, God, bless our church. Hold on one second. Because a blessing could be a problem. God could bless us with a big problem. I've seen big problems here that became a blessing. That's why you got to be careful. Be specific. God bless our church. Yeah? Really? Well, be specific. Be careful. It's like when you talk to people and you're praying around and you're like, anything you want me to pray for? Yes, please pray for me. What do you want me to pray for? Unspoken prayer. Unspoken? That means you're not going to tell me what I'm... No, it's private. Oh, really? Well, then keep it private. You keep praying for it. I don't know if you're praying for me to die. I don't know what your desires are, right? So you got to be careful. But just spell it out. Be honest with God. Maybe you don't want to tell me what you're praying for. That's fine with me. But you tell God what you're praying for. Don't just go out there and pray for something and you're trying to hide it from God. Like he doesn't know. Don't we do that sometimes? We're like, God, I really want you to bless me. But really what you're saying, God, I want this or I want that. But you don't want to say it out loud or something. I don't know. Sometimes prayers become pointless because they're so vague. And then we complain when we get a vague answer. God, you're not talking to me. It's not clear. I don't get it. Right? I don't know. Some of you are looking in the mirror and saying, yep, that's me. Some of you are saying, no, that's, oh, no, that's me. I look at verse 40. In verse 40, Jesus said, you know what? Stop. Stop everything and just bring this man to me. And when he came near, he questioned him. He said, and then he says, I want to see. He says, what do you want? He says, I want to see. You see, he didn't think about it. He said, oh, you're asking me what I want? Oh, hold on one second. No. He knew exactly what he wanted. He went right at it. I want to see you again. Period. You go with God, and that thing is that he was ready. Some of us pray and we're never ready because in our prayers we can't even express what we want. You have to be careful. You have to know. You got to be able to verbalize it. Let me tell you something. You know, you have to work on this. It's very important. I got to say that I don't do this very often, but if you really, really want to get your prayer list going right, I'll ask you a question. What if Jesus came walking through that door right now and tapped you on the shoulder and said, what do you want? Right now. Tell me what you want. What you really, really want. Yeah, and then you go like, yeah, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. No, that's not it. That's not it. Y'all guys went out there. No, not me this time. But what if Jesus came up and said that to you? I'll be brave to say that I'll probably be the first one to go, Has that ever happened to you? What if Jesus came back and asked you right now, blank check, tell me what you want right now. You know what to tell him? Have you thought about it already? Well, you need to think about that stuff. You see, that's why I say make a specific prayer list. Have you ever made a list in your life? This is what I want. And I'll tell you what, you can do this. You can have and say, this is what I want for my family. And be specific. This is what I want for myself. Family, I want for myself. What about my business or my work? This is what I want at my job. This is what I want where I work. This is what I want for my friends. This is what I want for my church. This is what I want in my finances. This is what I want for my future. Have you done that? Have you ever written them down? It's funny, but I think it could work if we do that. It helps us to be specific because then when we get the answer, we know exactly what God is answering to. When you're specific with your prayers, all of a sudden when you see the answer, you know exactly where to put that answer with. You can match them. You can pair them up. It helps us to be specific. It doesn't help God. God knows, but it helps us. So maybe you can write it down on a paper like Cookie's doing right now. She's going 50 mile an hour on that pen. She's writing a bunch of stuff she wants. I hope she's not giving it to Santa. Give it to Jesus. Amen. I read about a Christian man who, when he went to college, he was a Christian then, and his friend, and they went, and his at the dorm, his roommate, they decided, they went to the butcher shop and asked the butcher to give them a bunch of that butcher paper, you know, the white paper, and they actually put it all over the walls. You know, it looked like one of those isolation rooms. But what they did is they started writing their prayer requests on that paper on the wall. And what they did is they divided it in four columns: date, request, answer, date. And they started writing, today is March the 6th. I want to take out my girlfriend and I don't have any money. Lord, provide so that I could go on a date. And they start praying. And when God answered, they went, oh, I went on a date. Oh, it was good. It was too expensive, but it was good. You know? And they started writing. At the end of the year, most of the guys in the dorm wanted to come to their room then read the walls because they saw so many things written there. And they were like, wow, this is amazing. Why you guys did that? Because we trust God in everything. We wanted to make sure that we didn't forget. It's amazing, right? I think if we don't go out there and give your crayons to your children and start writing petitions on the walls, I know you're not going to do that. But you see, we got to have a list. If we have a list, maybe it will help. You see, the Bible tells us more than 20 times in the New Testament, ask and you shall be given, knock and it shall be open. You see, seek and you will find. So we need to pray, but we need to pray specifically. We need to make a list. We need to be remembering what we want and what we really, really want and wait upon him because he's got all the answers. And there's check this out. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. Basically, it says, do not worry about anything. Do not worry about it. I think that's the most difficult command in the Bible. Don't worry. Be happy. Yeah, you went there too, right? Don't worry, be happy. Think about it. That's probably one of the most difficult commands that we've been given in the Word. Don't worry. Don't worry. But bring every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. That's what I said at the beginning when we're worshiping. Worry about nothing and pray for everything. Once you, it's like, you know, the little oven. You set it and forget it. You pray it and you let God remember it. You forget about that. Well, you don't forget. You pray persistently. But you let God worry about it. That's his job. So what do you ask for? What do? You tell him, hey, I want braces. Yeah, you can pray for braces. That's good. You want to pray for your doctor bills. You want to pray for your doctor. That's good. You need a new car. Like I said, you can do that too. You need to pray for whatever it is that you want. That doesn't mean that God's going to give you everything, but God is going to give you everything that you need that will fit your life for the best. Amen? That's going to help you grow. He's more interested in your character than your comfort. He's more interested in your character than your comfort. So when you ask, remember that. Just remember. You see, when you have God's work done God's way, it never lacks God's support, period. God will always support any work that it's done his way. And wherever he guides, he provides. Have you ever heard that? Wherever God guides, he also provides. Have you ever heard the phrase, step out on a limb? Well, I tell you what, don't be afraid to step out and go on that limb. You know why? Because that's where the fruit is. On a limb. All right? So let's talk about the fourth principle. We talked about praying persistent, passionately, specifically. Now how about expectantly? That means that you actually expect an answer. If you don't expect God to answer your prayers, then don't bother praying. You must really expect an answer from God if you're going to pray. If you want him to heal you, you better be expecting to be healed. Amen? Jesus tells us in verse 42, he tells a blind beggar, receive your sight. You deserve it. Did he say that? Did he tell the beggar, I'll tell you what, receive your sight. You deserve it. You've been begging for so long. You deserve it. No, Jesus didn't say you deserve it. Jesus just don't go, he doesn't do that. He didn't tell him, receive your sight. You work really hard for it. No. Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Actually, in the word heal, does not mean they're like healed from an illness. It means you've been saved. Your faith has saved you. Wow. You know what that tells me? This blind man had a bigger need than what he was asking for was his salvation. And his faith, Jesus gave him salvation and sent it as a bonus. You can see too. Wow. So that's why I'm telling you, when you really want something, you ask him. And he will give you the right thing for you. And it may include what you're asking for. Amazing, right? But if you're not going to expect him to answer your prayer, then don't pray. Can you imagine the blind man going to Jesus and say, hey, where you at? You're right here, okay. And Jesus say, okay, what you want? Well, I tell you what, I don't know if you can do this, but I dare you. Go ahead. I want to see. Right? No. He just simply believed. He believed that he could be healed, and Jesus did it. That's called a faith. It's like gratitude. Gratitude is faith in advance. You know, it's like gratitude in advance. I don't know. It's thanking God in advance. That's what faith is. When you trust him. And you may say, well, I don't have that much faith, Pastor. I'm just kind of like one of these persons that I don't know if I'll ever see a miracle. I'm not big on faith. Well, I'll tell you what. It's not the size of your faith that determines your miracle. It's the size of your God. You may have little faith in a big God, and that may be enough. But you got to trust him. That's what's important. Everybody's got faith. You have faith? Everybody has faith. You came in here and you sat on that pew. That's faith. You didn't know if that was going to fall off or whatever, right? You got on your car and you actually went on the freeway or the highway. That's faith right there, let me tell you. A lot of crazy stuff happens out there. So you do have faith. It depends on what you put your faith on. But you got to grow your faith by filling your mind with God's word. That's how you grow your faith. You fill your mind with God's word. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says that faith comes through hearing, hearing the word of God. So if you want your faith to grow, then listen to the word. Memorize the word. Take the word into your heart. As a matter of fact, a little suggestion. Do you like promises? I like them when they come from God. So start memorizing some of the promises. I don't know if you'll ever memorize all of them, but there's more than 7,000 of them in here. 7,000 promises. Start memorizing some of them. That'll surely bring your faith up to some notches, right? We'll bring it right up. You see, God's miracles are the work of his grace and mercy. They're not the works of your doing or your achievements. The biggest reason we don't see miracles is because we don't believe. It's not because we're not doing the right thing. It's because we don't believe. Because faith is what moves the hand of God. Faith. Believing him. So if you're afraid to ask because you think, well, I don't deserve that. Sometimes I feel like that. I'll go to God and say, you know what? I would really like. And I'll tell him what I really like. But then I think, I know I don't deserve it. And God might say, well, it's not about you deserving it. Let me tell you what, I can give that to you, but since you're not convinced in faith that I want to give it to you because you think it's on you, you have the burden because you don't deserve it, I'll tell you what, when you change your mind, maybe I'll give you what you want. So we need to pray. We need to pray persistently, passionately, specifically, and expectantly because God is good. Amen? And last but not least, let's be grateful. We must pray gratefully. Pray with gratitude. Pray with appreciation, knowing that it's not about what you deserve, but God has given you more than you ever wanted, asked for, needed. He's just been so gracious to you. There are two things that the blind man did at the end of this. Verse 43 says, at once the man was able to see, and he followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all other people who saw this also praised God. There's two things he did. Very simple. He followed Jesus and he gave him glory. So be grateful and follow him. And be grateful and glorify him. Is that the way we pray? Is that what we're doing when we're praying? We thanking God? Are we thankful before we even receive what we're asking for? It's not about I deserve it. It's about his mercy and grace. Remember what I said? Don't worry about anything, but pray for everything. And then it says, that same verse, Philippians 4:6 says, in everything give thanks. We need to be grateful. We need to follow him and give him glory. How do you follow him? You obey. How do you give him glory? You share what he's done in your life. You give him honor. You make him shine in your life. Maybe you need to go home today. You want to glorify God? Maybe you need to go home and make another list. Not only the things that you want for your marriage, for your finances, for your future, for the church, for yourself, for whatever. Maybe you need to make a list of 50 things that God has done for you. How about that? Can you think of 50 things that God has been so gracious and merciful that you didn't deserve, that you didn't work for, that you didn't, but he gave them to you anyway? Maybe if we did that, maybe once we write all that stuff down, maybe we're like, woo, glory to God, amen. We'll be a little bit more grateful when we remember. That's why we write people thank you notes, don't we? Because they did something for us and we remember, we write it down and we say, hey, thank you for, and I appreciate, and you give it to them, and maybe, you know, and that makes the person look how? That make them look good. Make them feel good. May God feel good today. Give them a list of what you are so thankful for. That's what Bartimaeus did. He said, I'm so grateful for what you did. I'm just going to follow you, brother. And I'm going to go tell everybody. I'm going to give you glory. Oh, yes, you're going to shine because I'm going to tell everybody what you did for me. You could be depressed. He can take care of that. You can be worried today about anything. And he can take care of that too. You may be at the bottom of the pit or your financial. You know what? He can do something about that. You may have a physical need. You may have an illness, whatever it is. But he can do something about anything that you need him to. Any emotional problem, anything, any conflict, anything. God can do something about. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. Just like this blind man, according to his faith. And today, it's simple. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And according to your faith, I will do for you. So why don't you close your eyes right now and tell them your deepest want. I don't know if you've been thinking about it while I've been preaching. If they've been doing that, that's okay. Tell them what's really hurting. Tell them what you really, really, really want. What's really got you down? Maybe it is inviting Jesus to your heart and say, well, today I understand that there's something I want. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I need you. I want to surrender my life to you. I don't even know you personally, and I want you personally in my life.